Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To be sure, there are seasons of life, moments when the transitions, changes, and tragedies can leave us feeling like orphans. Whether spoken or unspoken, the questions begin. What will I do now? Where will I go? What happens next? Who will love me and guide me? Who stands on my side? What will become of me? Those are the questions that I imagine are running through the heads and hearts of the disciples in today's gospel. It's the Last Supper. The disciples have been fed, feet have been washed, the betrayer has left. It is night, and Jesus announces that he is leaving. The one for whom they left everything now says he's leaving. "We don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Show us the Father." Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Jesus only gave a single commandment in the Gospel of John, and it occurred in the chapter just before this one. He said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." What binds the disciples to Jesus is love. Now, according to Jesus, the answer to our questions is determined by love that is revealed and fulfilled through keeping the commandments. Love of Christ means seeking the glory of the Father. It means accepting and continuing the work of the Son. This work of bringing people to believe in Jesus Christ as the true Son of God is done by Christ himself, and it would be carried on by his disciples. What appeared to be bad news to the disciples, namely Jesus' departure from them, turned out to be the best news for us. While Jesus walked this earth, his ministry was limited to one locale, and one person, himself. The work of the disciples would be greater than the work of Jesus, just as he had predicted. It was the disciples who would bring this Jesus movement to the Greeks and to all the Gentiles who had not yet known Christ. That the Gentiles could come to believe would depend on the death of Jesus Christ. If that had not occurred, there would be no conversion of the Gentiles. The death of Jesus would allow the disciples to do something that Jesus himself could not do, to proclaim that his death on the cross is the historical event that restores our relationship with God. The reason that we are here today is because the disciples were faithful in this work. Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever." Jesus had himself been the advocate, counselor, intercessor, and comforter while he was with them. but now he was going away. So the most urgent need of the disciples was to have another counselor with that same stature. At the prayer request of the Son, the Father will give the disciples the gift of the Spirit of Truth, who will remain with them forever. So Jesus' departure does not leave the disciples unguided and unsupported, as they might have thought. Jesus also says that the world cannot receive the Spirit of Truth because it neither sees it nor recognizes it. Jesus refers to the world as the realm of people who are hostile to Jesus and his followers and are alienated from God. Is that saying that the world cannot receive the Spirit as an unbeliever cannot become a believer? If we are faithful to our baptismal promise, then our mission as a church is to restore all people, believer and non-believer, to unity with God, with each other in Christ. According to our catechism, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, God at work in the world and in the church today. The Holy Spirit leads us into truth and enables us to grow in the likeness of Christ. If faith is a relationship with the living Christ and the living God who sent him, then faith cannot come without an encounter with them. And the Spirit is the one that makes this presence known. Jesus says, "You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you live." At our baptism, we're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then, with holy oil, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. Jesus said, "On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you." In Jesus' parable of the sheep and goats, he recognizes those who keep his commandment. For he says, "I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you also did for me." So does that mean that we are saved by our works rather than our faith? Absolutely not. But the way we live reflects our love and our faith. Love and obedience go hand in hand. This Gospel of John concludes with that same theme, linking love for Jesus with faithful service. Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than all of these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." What binds the disciples to Jesus is love. What binds us to Jesus is love. Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love toward you that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.